The scripture reading is Ezekiel 47, 1 through 5, and 1 John 5, 16. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. For the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from the under, from the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the side to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, the water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000 that, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen. Enough water to swim in, and a river that could not be forded. 1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. That there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this. Amen.
In the Sunday morning service, actually, today's evening service, I plan to the First John lecture, but I will continue with the sins leading to death, and I will finish it. I talked about David and also Saul, who did the opposite of David. Samuel pointed out his sin, but he just kept on committing sins without repenting at all. He had to repent, but he wouldn't. And he willfully kept on committing sins. And eventually he was forsaken by God completely, and even his children and his descendants. So even if they believe, if they willfully and knowingly commit sins time and again, God will forsake them. I've seen such cases so many times, right after the opening of the church until now. And God forgives them as much as possible, so they can be forgiven and they can receive salvation. In such cases, they were the ones who loved the church and the shepherd. But when they committed sins leading to death, unforgivable sins, God had pity on them so that they wouldn't fall into hell, so that they would be able to go to at least the paradise. There were some among the elders. And if they should have obeyed, but they didn't. But from the heart, they loved the church and the shepherd. So in such cases, God let them receive salvation. So if God just left them, let them live, they would definitely fall into hell. So God took some of them when they had the faith to go to first kingdom, or those who some of them went to was able to go to paradise. So God took them early so they could at least be saved. Otherwise, they would have fallen into hell. Maybe those sins cannot be considered sins leading to death, or they can be considered sins leading to death. But anyway, they were forgiven and they went to the paradise and the first kingdom. And if they go on a little bit more, they wouldn't have been saved. The Holy Spirit in them will be quenched and their consciences become seared as with a hot iron, so they cannot repent. As a result, their names are erased from the book of life and they cannot be saved. Instead, their names will be inscribed in the book of death in hell. In Revelation 20:12, we can see there is the book of life that will be the ground of judging heaven and hell, and rewards and punishments, and also other books. It says, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened." So books were opened. It's in plural form. Other than the Book of Life, there are other books too. Books were opened and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. So there is a Book of Death, the Book of Life, and other books. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. So the dead means those who are not saved, those who have to be judged. The dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds, according to what they have done on this earth. And all the books, they write down all the sins that they committed, at what time, what on what day and which month, which year, so they cannot say, I didn't do it. Like last week, I was talking to somebody and he was saying, his habit, No. But the Bible, you can never say no at the judgment throne, at the judgment. If you say no, there are, in front of the throne of God, there is a sea of glass that will reveal everything. They will play everything. So you cannot say no. It is rather better to say yes and admit your sins than make the sea of glass reveal your sins. So the dead will be judged according to their deeds from the things which are written in the books. If our name and deeds are not written in the Book of Life, where else would they be written? They will be written in the Book of Death. If there is anybody who has stepped into a swamp of sins because you did not circumcise your heart or because you couldn't overcome the temptations of sin, I hope you will get out of it now. Turn from the depth of your heart and ask for mercy and forgiveness of God the Father. Cast off even the sinful nature itself completely to show the evidence of your sincerity. In doing so, even if your name was once written in the Book of Death, you must erase it completely now. Even though your power may be little, you can get out of sins and evil by the precious blood of the Lord. Jesus shed all His water and blood, even to the last drop, to give us the power to cast away sins and evil. Also because the Holy Spirit is praying for you, grieving, I ask you in the name of the Lord to hold on to this love and go the way of life and not the way of death. God wants to save and He never wants to destroy or kill, especially in this church, because this church is loved by God. God wants to save everyone who is in this church. So even if you make a mistake while driving and your car has to be scraped down, you who are in the car are protected. Those who are not protected, maybe one of your legs is broken. It's because you didn't keep the Lord's Day holy and because you didn't live by the Word of God. And if you injure your head, it means you committed sins leading to death. Injure your head greatly, it means you committed such sins, but God protected the mommy members so that they wouldn't die because they didn't solve the problem of sin leading to death. Of course, there's no solution to such sins. And if they get involved in a traffic accident, and if you do not commit such sins, even if you make a mistake and get involved in a traffic accident, God protects your head, because injuring the head means you will be disabled somehow for the rest of your life. So God just gives your slight warning by letting you protecting you completely or letting you get injured slightly. Dear brothers and sisters, the third case of sins leading to death is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So this is the greatest sin among all three of sins leading to death. Let me read Bible verses. Matthew chapter 12, verses 31, 32 says, "Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people." Any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, except sins leading to death. Any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, except sins leading to death. But blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. That's what Jesus said. So there is no forgiveness, either in this age or in the age to come, in case of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Whoever speaks against a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Why? Because at that time, Jesus was just like a human being. People just thought maybe he is not God, probably, and they just thought of him as a person. Some of them, many people couldn't believe him as God. So that's why he said, if you speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. But if you speak a word against God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ, who resurrected, you cannot be forgiven. But because he was still on the earth and he appeared as a man, they might have considered him as a man. And so that is why they could be forgiven. But if you know that He is God and He is the Savior, and if you still speak a word against Him, it cannot be forgiven. So please understand this properly. So whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Jesus said. And in Luke 12:10, it says, "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it'll not be forgiven him." So if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you cannot be forgiven. So even the new believers, you must remember these words. So those who are talkative, those who are passing judgment and condemnation very well, and if you just carelessly blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it is such a great sin, so you must be careful. You know, you have to be careful about some certain things. In case of the president, you know, you easily say, "Oh, just step down, the president. You have to step down just because you don't like her, like the ideas." And there are many people who say that. So even you can criticize to some extent that can be forgiven, but there is a limit where you cannot even be forgiven. Even the parliament members, congressmen, they have limits. They cannot insult the president beyond a certain limit. Matthew 12:22-23 says that in that passage we can understand why Jesus said so. Then a demon, when Jesus drove away a demon, most people were surprised, but Pharisees said the following in verse 24: "This man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons." And because Jesus was driving out demons, Pharisees said, This man casts out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. They were saying that Jesus was receiving help from the ruler of the demons to drive out demons. What kind of nonsense is this? So, to drive away demons at that time was something so great. You know, man cannot do that. Man cannot drive away demons. So, the Pharisees, they were thinking Jesus did it by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And if you have fleshly faith, you think in the same way. If there is a demon, you are afraid of demons. And demons, you know, those who are demon-possessed, they are strong, so it is difficult to control them. But yes, of course, they are physically stronger than any man if they are demon-possessed. Right after the opening of the church, there were some young adults members, two or three of them, they couldn't control a demon-possessed woman because she was so strong. Physically, when I was not around. And so the demon went into the bathroom and locked the door, locked herself in and wouldn't come out. So the members of Young Adults Mission, they couldn't control her. So after I came back from the theological college, I saw what was happening. And maybe Pastor Hyun-Gun Ju, he went inside by the back window. And so he opened the door and brought her out. He was not such a strong man, but two, three men couldn't control him. Also, at that time, Pastor Hyun-Gun Ju was very strong at that time. Also, very brave man. So, he opened the window of the backside and crawled in to the bathroom to open the door. So, you don't control demons with physical strength. You control them with spiritual power. So, demons are controlled by men of spirit. If men of spirit appear, even demons will tremble with fear. So, the pastors, unless you go into spirit, you can't drive away demons. You can't do anything to them. But nowadays, there are many men of spirit. So, those men of spirit, they take care of the demons, so there wouldn't be any demon-possessed people. If there is any, they will drive away the demons, those who have mental disorders too. That's why we are in need of men of spirit. So men of spirit, they have to visit the members, and if there is anybody who has that kind of problem, they can just control and drive away the demons. But there are certain ways. You have to know these ways. So I explained everything in the messages, World of Evil Spirits. Those who are in whole spirit, they can just teach these new pastors. Those who are in whole spirit, it's nothing for them to control and the demons. You know, they can't even open their eyes before men of whole spirit, whether men or women. Even though they are women, you know, the demons, they cannot even open their eyes properly. Because the spiritual power is that great. And the demon is just one of the very lower ranking spirits. Also, the angels are very strong angels. The bodyguards, the guardian angels are very strong for men of whole spirit. The greater the power, spiritual power, the greater, the stronger the guardian angels are. So the man of spirit is a little less, they're less strong. And the lower the faith, the less, the stronger, the weaker the angels are. And if you're not living by the word, you cannot be protected. And Jesus, knowing their thought, said in verse 26, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So Satan will not fight against each other. The world of evil spirits, they will not fight against each other. What if, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So in Satan's world too, there is an order and hierarchy. So it is run by the order. And he's talked about the source of the power to drive away demons in verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then so the Lord, did he drive away the demon with his power? Please be clear about this. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So the Lord didn't drive away demons with his power. He drove away demons by the Spirit of God. So everything is done by the work of the Holy Spirit, so that the power of God is manifested. Jesus drove away demons by the Spirit of God. So to speak against and disturb the works of the Holy Spirit is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So you drive away demons, perform powerful works by the Holy Spirit, and if you criticize these things, saying like they are works of Satan or they are works of demons, it is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And such people, they can never be forgiven because they are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They are speaking against the Holy Spirit. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is to challenge the authority of God, the sovereignty of God. To challenge the sovereignty of God cannot be forgiven. For better understanding, to blaspheme is to slander and disturb the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you criticize a church that manifests the works of the Holy Spirit, if you criticize such a church, it is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. By the work of the Holy Spirit, you drive away demons, you manifest the divine healing and other powerful works of God. And if you criticize these things, saying as if there were something wrong, those things cannot be forgiven. And there's no salvation in that. It means they don't understand the Bible at all. That's why they recklessly say such things, not knowing that they cannot even be saved. And their ends are so miserable. They cannot die a peaceful death. And all of them I see that they are facing miserable death. Maybe last stage of a lung cancer, this cancer. And they suffer so much before they die because they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And also you can stand against the Holy Spirit. It is to go against the voice of the Holy Spirit given by God. To stand against is to disobey and rebel against the will or instructions of seniors, those in hierarchy. And to blaspheming also includes insulting the Holy Spirit. For example, if you say the works of the Holy Spirit are Satan's work, or if you say Holy Spirit's work as Holy Spirit's work, which means you are cheating in the name of the Holy Spirit, then it is to insult the eternal power and divinity of God. So it is to challenge God himself. It is to blaspheme God himself. It is to insult and despise the sovereignty of God. Also, if you say the word of God is untruth, And if you say the truth is falsehood, it is also blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Even in the world, we have a defamation case. So, blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is like a defamation of the Holy Spirit. So the Pharisees, they were speaking against, standing against, and blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Seeing the works of the Holy Spirit, they didn't give glory to God. But they were saying that Jesus was working by Beelzebul. So, whatever the Lord Jesus did, it was good. Everything was good. And seeing the good works, if they had just 1% of a good heart, they couldn't criticize such things, even though they didn't know what they were properly. It was something good. They couldn't criticize those things. Reviving the dead and healing the crooked arms and healing the opening the eyes of the blind man. Everything was good. In doing so, the Pharisees disturbed with the works for the kingdom of God done through the works of the Holy Spirit. So they were disturbing the works of Jesus, whatever the ministry Jesus was doing, the works of the Holy Spirit. They spread bad rumors about Jesus, the Son of God, so that the people wouldn't believe in Jesus as the Messiah. Also, they try to stop Jesus from coming. So, whatever Jesus was doing was the work of the Holy Spirit and in the power of God, and they were making false rumors to stop these things. There were so many false rumors about Jesus that the Bible also says the following kind of thing. After Jesus began his public ministry, he was teaching, preaching the gospel and healing and driving away evil spirits. And one day, his relatives came to him. His relatives. The reason is written in Mark 3:21. When his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him. They heard so many rumors about Jesus, so they went out to take custody of him. But they were saying he has lost his senses. There were so many false rumors. So even his own relatives, they thought, because it was widely known that Jesus lost his senses, they thought he was out of his mind. And Jesus took up a lot more sufferings than I did. Nobody said I was out of my mind. Yes, I heard. I was crazy about Jesus, yes. I heard that. But nobody really said, I don't remember. I don't recall. I was out of my mind. But Jesus, people were saying he was out of his mind, out of his senses. And his relatives came to hold him, which never happened to me. And how ridiculous this is. If they have just a little bit of conscience, by after seeing signs and wonders, and how can they criticize and such a person who manifests the power of God? Of course, nobody is really doing that nowadays. But if anybody does it, he cannot really be forgiven. Jesus said, this is not just to disturb Jesus who came in the form of a human being. He said it was to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It is not just to speak a word against the Son of Man. Acts 10:38 says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. God anointed him. And how he went about doing good and healing. He went about doing good. He did only good things. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. God was with him so that such works could take place. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, so he went about doing good. And he healed the sick, all good things. And he healed those who were oppressed by the devil. So, because God was with him. Without God being with us, we cannot do such any of these things. Also, same with signs and wonders. Jesus manifested signs and wonders means God was with him, and the disciples manifested signs and wonders. The Lord was with him. The Lord worked with them and showed the following signs and wonders so that the message that they preached was confirmed. Do you understand? So what the Lord did was possible, was made possible because the Holy Spirit and God was with him. And the disciples manifested signs and wonders because the Lord was with him. Lord worked with them. Of course, it is right to say God was with them. But because they were the disciples of the Lord worked with them. And the pastors here, you should also understand these things.
Yes.
Oh, signs and wonders take place if because the shepherd worked with us. If you don't know the Bible, you might say that. You might say it is wrong to say, oh, why not the Lord? I'm not saying you should say the shepherd is with us. I don't want to receive all the I don't want to receive glory or anything. We give all the glory to the Father God and the Lord. But you can understand what is right and what is the actuality of the things. Even if you say the shepherd is with us and these works took place, God will not say it is wrong. You say into the sky, you say, God of our shepherd, and you see the rainbows. Boom. So, instead, Jesus healed the sick and drove away evil spirits by the Holy Spirit. He showed the signs and wonders. And of course, some people believed Jesus as the Messiah. But many people considered him just as a prophet, as one of human beings. So, if you say some ignorant words, thinking that Jesus is a man, they could be saved and they could be forgiven because they didn't know Jesus as God. So later when they realize, they can repent. Like in the case of the Apostle Paul, he thought Jesus was not the Messiah, but later when he realized Jesus is the Messiah, he repented thoroughly. He changed completely and he preached Jesus Christ. So, because Paul didn't do that because he was evil. He was a good person. Because he lived by the word of God, the law of God. But because according to the law, he thought Jesus was not right according to the law. So he wanted to arrest those believers in Jesus Christ. But when he realized that his actions were wrong and Jesus Christ is really the Lord and the Messiah, he changed completely. What is the reason that Paul acknowledged Jesus? Just by seeing one miracle, he changed completely. Just by seeing one miracle, that he acknowledged that Jesus who was crucified is the Savior. What is that miracle? It is something that the man couldn't do. He couldn't see, but he came back to he came to see completely once again. But as according to what Jesus said, when he received the prayer from a prophet, he began to see. Just by seeing that miracle, he believed completely. Because man cannot do that. Not blinding him and then opening his eyes again according to the prophecy, according to the word of Jesus. It was not done by man. Just by experiencing this one miracle, he believed Jesus completely and dedicated all his life for the Lord. The same thing happened to me. When I accepted the Lord, I checked all over my body. My hearing improved, and what was more surprising was I had to wipe out these discharges from the ear every morning, and there was no more discharge because I had been doing that since when I was in fourth grade. And also, there were some lumps in my neck, and all these lumps, they went away. And I had the rheumatoid arthritis and all these things all over my joints, and they all had the scabs overnight, and they were fine. And all these things, you know, these things couldn't take place. You know, no medicine, no hospital, no doctor could do anything about it. And so even by medicines or medical science, I couldn't be cured. And just by going to church, kind of church, to the Hyunshin's altar, just by kneeling down once there, I didn't even receive the prayer. Just by going to a sanctuary of God and kneeling down there for a while, just by doing that, I met God and I was healed completely, and I checked my body again and again. I tried to doubt it in the all ways possible. So I'm a doubtful person. I mean, I'm full of doubts. If something like that happened, I could consider it a coincidence, but I couldn't say it was coincidence. It was a clear fact. And right at that moment, I knelt before God, and God, you are living. Those who are good-hearted, they will. I'm not saying I'm good-hearted, but those who have good conscience, you know, just by seeing one or two things, they will acknowledge the fact, because these things cannot be done by man. You know, no medicine can do it. Only God can do such a thing. And by witnessing such a thing, you will just kneel before God and acknowledge God. In case of Paul too, just by seeing that he acknowledged God and Jesus Christ as the Savior. So he dedicated all his life for the Lord. Because he was good-hearted. So God, that's why God chose him. It's the same today. Those who are good-hearted, just by seeing one sign or wonder, they will acknowledge God right away. And seeing these many signs and wonders in this church, there are so many great things that cannot be explained by science or medicine or human knowledge or anything. There are so many things, like aura, like lights, one sweet water, just handkerchief prayers, extraordinary things taking place. So if you just have a little bit of conscience, you will acknowledge. But how about you? Did you acknowledge the fact with your good conscience? If you had that kind of good conscience, you'd have gone into spirit and you must be running towards Holy Spirit. You are not changed by seeing signs and wonders just by once or twice. You saw so many signs and wonders again and again. You saw and heard and again and again and again, so you could change to this extent to be what you are today. You have to acknowledge God just by seeing once or twice. But if you believe just by seeing once or twice, it means you have such a good heart and you can go into spirit very quickly. But throughout the years, for so many years, you saw so many things, you heard so many things, and your faith grew up little by little by little. Maybe 0.1%, 0.5%, and then now, you barely made it to the rock of faith and maybe into the spirit. So that's why it took a long, long time. If you just believed everything right from the beginning, 100%. Or if you think about it, you cannot just explain everything. You cannot explain anything with theory. Dragonflies coming down from the sky. There are so many things that cannot be explained or understood with the human knowledge or theories. Just not hundreds of them, but the thousands of them. Not just one year, but every year. Not just in one location, but in every summer retreat locations. And they come. Not, they don't just come, but after coming, they catch all the mosquitoes, moths, so we will have comfortable retreats without any... So if you see just one of these things, you can acknowledge God. So even though this church is showing so many signs and wonders, maybe if such things were taking place in the 60s, the whole country of South Korea, or even the whole world, it would be such big news. You know, in the long time ago, just by healing a little minor disease, even though it was not power of God, just by one divine healing case, the news spread all over the country in the 60s and 70s. But now, there are so many unimaginable things, such powerful works, extraordinary things. With these things, the whole world must be shaking. But the world is so full of sins and they are living in falsehood. So they don't believe, even though they hear such things. How can that be? It's just a falsehood. It's just a fabrication. But you experience them, you see them, and directly you experience them. So you know that it is true. It is reality. That's why your faith is growing up. Like bean sprouts will grow up quickly. So you are going into the rock of faith and you must be going into spirit. But because you have a lot of thoughts, you have a lot of thoughts, there are so many hindrances. Why do you have to take such a long time? Once I met God, I never doubted the Bible. All I believed everything in the Bible. And that's why my faith grew up so quickly. And without anybody teaching me, I just by reading the Bible, I went into spirit quickly and also and then to the Holy Spirit very quickly. Because I believed God that way right from when I was a new believer. So reading from the Genesis to Revelations, I prayed for the signs and wonders written in the Bible every day. So that about these signs and wonders, asking God to give them to me with faith every day. And eventually I received everything. There's nothing I haven't received. I received everything. It's not just done like that. You know, I had to cry out in my prayer with faith so much, and I had stored up so much fasting and vowed nightly prayers and online prayers, and I prayed even until my sweat didn't actually become the blood, but blood. But I sweated so much. I tried to do that actually. I tried to pray until my sweat would become the blood, but I failed. They didn't turn into blood. Elder Jung Soo Choi, they were all together with me, but they didn't turn into blood. So because it was the command of God, I tried to do that so much. I prayed so hard, without even getting sleep, without even going into the room. I just put the blanket, a piece of blanket on the living room and on my knees. And when I got so tired, I would just take a nap on the blanket to accomplish the command of God. But eventually, the sweats didn't turn into blood. But anyway, I sweated a lot. And from that time, the door to spiritual realm began to be opened. And that was the beginning. And it's Revelation. And there are more than 80 books which are also being translated into so many languages. All these things are fruits of so many sweats and so much toil. You know, nothing was given for free. And all these things are broadcast and published into books, and many pastors are preaching with these messages. And what a great blessing this is. And these are messages given by God Himself. And still, and if you still seek something with your knowledge, because we have these messages given by God Himself, So thinking Jesus as a man, if you speak ignorant words, you might be forgiven. And I explained the reason why. Matthew 12:32 says, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But the continuing word says, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. This is such a fearful word, fearful verse. You have to remember it. If somebody says something, if you participate in that kind of discussion, and if you follow them in saying those things, it is hell for you. That's why our Lord warned us. You know, do not recklessly speak. Do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Do not speak against God. Do not despise God. You know, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is to despise the divinity of God. It is to deny the power of God. And it is a sin that cannot be forgiven. Namely, even after seeing the evidence that the works of Jesus is the works of the Holy Spirit, if you still disturb such works and speak against him, you cannot be forgiven. There were so many signs and wonders that took place in the church. There were people who were criticizing them, saying that they were false and fabrications. And if you say those things, they cannot be forgiven, according to the Bible. Then, how evil they must be to speak such words. If you are not evil, you can't say those things. Being afraid of God, you can't say those things. I'm manifesting signs and wonders and power of God, and how can you say, recklessly say bad things about those things? If you're not afraid of God. And I believe none of you will do that. Namely, if you commit these sins, you will fall into eternal death. Dear brothers and sisters and viewing audiences, the Holy Spirit is one of the Trinity. God. And if you blaspheme this Holy Spirit, it is to blaspheme God Himself. So how can you be forgiven? But today, such things are taking place. For example, some people criticize a church that manifests the works of the Holy Spirit as heretical. They say, signs and wonders took place only at the time of Jesus. How can such a thing happen through man today? They just own discretion. They criticize and they judge and condemn such things. But Jesus also manifested such things when he came in human body. Also in the Bible, the power of God was manifested through the prophets, apostles, Stephen and Philip. So, through man, such things can take place. So, weren't Stephen and Philip not men? Peter and Paul, were they not men? And what would they say? Oh, they took place only 2,000 years ago. Then, 2,000 years ago, can these things not take place? But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So those things can take place only 2,000 years ago and not now? Where in the Bible says that? So the demons went away and their sick people were healed through their ministry. Whether in the Old or New Testament, God chooses His people after His heart and testifies to the living God. The works of the Almighty God are the same thousands of years ago or today, especially after the ascension of the Lord. The era of the Holy Spirit opened, and many churches were established and grew up in the works of the Holy Spirit. And saying that they believe in God and the Lord, and if they still pass judgment and condemnation on the church of God that is filled with the Holy Spirit, how pitiful this is. And they don't even know the biblical definition of heresy. And yet, they disturb the churches that show the works of the Holy Spirit. And it is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit who is working through that church. And they spread false rumors with evil intentions. And some of them, they try to destroy the church and the pastor. This is such an evil act to speak against and stand against the Holy Spirit. And I and the workers of our church, my church, have experienced such things in overseas crusades. because of such disturbances. Spreading of the gospel was disturbed, and we suffered a lot of damage and loss in time and finance. In 2006, we had the United Crusade in Madison Square Garden in New York City, which is the center of the world. And some ignorant organizations, they disturbed our church and me and slandered me. They said they spread a false rumor that I deny Jesus Christ. But in the Madison Square Garden, I preached and proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, so many people repented and received salvation. They were healed and gave glory to God. So, we can understand how ridiculous their claims are and how false they are. By giving glory to God greatly through the crusade, it was confirmed and proved that what they were saying was false. And they, even the New York City, the city council, they recognized me. And in the name of the chairman of the city council of New York City, and also the house of the New York City, they gave me a certificate. Of course, if it is clearly heretical according to the Bible, and if somebody is leading the members to receive another spirit than the spirit of truth, you have to warn them. Titus 3:10 says, "Reject the factious man after first and second warning." But you cannot recklessly condemn somebody as heretical and disturb with the works of the Holy Spirit. It is a great sin. Therefore, according to the word of the truth, and by discerning in the Holy Spirit, we have to be able to discern between the spirits. And if you cannot discern between the spirits and recklessly condemn and slander a church that shows the works of the Holy Spirit, there are some people who do not realize what they are doing. It means they are spiritually asleep. And it means their hearts are lifted before God. Namely, in their heart, evil rather than goodness is more, and hatred rather than love is more. Why would Pharisees and other people slander Jesus? Is it just because they were ignorant, that they couldn't discern? It is because their hearts were filled with evil. The Pharisees at that time tried to put Jesus in a difficult situation by planning some schemes. One day, they were criticizing Jesus for healing a sick man on the Sabbath. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 14, "But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him." Namely, to destroy Jesus, they were intentionally trying to condemn him. The Pharisees were thoroughly acquainted with the word of God, the law, and they were teachers of the law. This was the problem. Not just the Pharisees, but the priests and high priests. They studied the Bible since their childhood. They were memorizing them, and they knew, of course, it was in their own language. The Bible was in their own language, Hebrew. And what wouldn't they know? They know everything. So, what was in the Bible, you have to keep in mind that you cannot interpret the Bible with your knowledge. You cannot do that. You have to receive the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that you can understand the Bible properly. And you look down on this. You ignore this part. And that is why Jesus said, without the prayer and fasting, such things cannot go out. So, without prayer and fasting, you cannot understand the Bible. You cannot explain the difficult parts of the Bible without prayer. And as I mentioned earlier, God was making me interpret the Bible, He let me take out all the difficult passages of the Bible. And from Sunday I'd go up the mountain and I begin prayer from the Monday. And I would take out the difficult passages, and I pray from early morning, and I pray all day. And I just take a lunch, and I take a dinner, and I keep on praying all day long. And because there was an evening, a meeting in the prayer center, so everybody would be there, so the prayer cells would be empty. So my delegation, they would go in there to record the revelation of God, to receive the revelation and the interpretations of the Bible. And during, usually it was during the cold winter night, so the doors, they were not closing properly, and they were opening and closing by strong winds, and it was very, very cold. And even in, we didn't have such warm clothes either, like today. And we were shivering and receiving the revelations of God. And maybe from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., 2-3 hours. And at night, we would sleep in such cold weather. It was just a thin piece of blanket. And we didn't have so much heating either, because we were not to save money. And if you had two coal briquettes, it would be warmer, but we could afford only one coal briquette. And after we wake up in the morning, I would see that the ink was frozen. And I would wash my feet in the small stream nearby. And one day, each day, that's how I received the revelations of God. Of course, today I wouldn't do it. I don't have to do that. That's how I received revelations, such precious revelations of God. I cannot exchange these things with any gold or silver, any gemstones. This is the most precious treasure of treasures. So I asked the church staff to keep it very, very safe. There's nothing more important than the revelations. So you have to keep them. So the Pharisees were thorough with the word of God, and they were teachers of the law. But as the respect and love towards them turned toward Jesus, they became so envious. So they willingly disturbed Jesus. If you really fear God and have goodness and love in your heart, when you hear the works of the Holy Spirit, what kind of attitude will you have? We can see the answer through a person called Gamaliel. At the time of the apostles, when the apostles, including Peter, were preaching the gospel and showing divine healing works, the Sadducees arrested them and put them in jail. But at that time, Gamaliel said, Acts 5:35 says, "Men of Israel, take care what you propose to do with these men." Verses 38 and 39 say, "So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may even be found fighting against God." So you have to leave it to God. God can take care of it. If they disturb God, if they speak against God, you have to leave everything to God. But today, even this kind of message, you know, it's difficult to find any believer who is practicing this kind of thing. You know, they judge everybody. They condemn everybody with their own knowledge. And not to judge or condemn the works of the Holy Spirit, but to seek the will of God quietly. This is to fear God from the heart. This is to have humble and good heart and attitude. Brothers and sisters, some of you repent saying that they judged the works of the Holy Spirit and that they doubted. You've seen the works, powerful works of the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders that nobody can deny. And why would you still judge and condemn, and why would you still doubt? Why? Why would you still doubt? Why especially among the pastors and Levites? Why? It is because of the fleshly thoughts. Romans 8:7, first part says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. And this fleshly thought makes us have enmity with God. It makes us doubt God and hate God. And this fleshly thought is caused by evil of the heart. The more evil you have in the heart, the more fleshly thoughts you have. If you have good heart, no matter if you think this way or that way, you know that it cannot be done by man, and it can be given only by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, same with the revelation and everything. Luke 6:45 says, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So, whether you pray or anything, those who are evil, they pray evil prayers. As they are evil, they speak as they see and hear, and as they pray. Their evil is revealed. You might not think you are doing that, but I can sense how evil you are, how good you are, just by hearing your prayer. Sometimes, even by hearing your praise, I can sense it, how much evil you have, even though you try to coat it. You cannot, evil will come out from evil, and goodness will come out from goodness. So even though you pray, that's why you have to praise God with your heart so you can be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Of course, nowadays, things got much better, and you try to sing with from the heart. So there are many encore requests, almost every team and soloists. Therefore, if you have had doubts or evil thoughts about the works of the Holy Spirit, or if you spoke against the works of the Holy Spirit, I hope you will rend your heart in repentance. Some people, they criticized through 98 and 99 incidents. God said these things were a test to reveal the evil that was in the nature of our heart. Hearing from some unrighteous people and believing the broadcasting that was false, you doubted or judged or condemned the Church of God showing works of the Holy Spirit or the servant of God, and it is such a great evil. That's what God let you realize. And God gave you so many chances to repent of such evil. Now I hope you will only accumulate goodness. So it's in the past, but anyway, listening to these messages, if you judged and condemned in the past, if you doubted in the past, you can understand that you have the walls of sin. So probably you repented all of them before March 31st. And if you didn't break down any of these walls of sins, you have to break these down so that you can go onto the rock of faith and into the Spirit. Because if there is anything that is not resolved yet, because of that, you cannot go onto the rock of faith and into Spirit. And if you are good and if you are in the Spirit, and if you have any of these things, it will be a hindrance to go into Holy Spirit. So if you understand, if you see that if you belong to any of these categories, repent of all these things. In the history, if you criticize a king, you have to pay the price with his own death. And if you criticize God and slander God and disturb his work, what kind of price do you have to pay? Of course, some of the kings did some things that were obviously wrong. But God is different. He is truly good. And Jesus, who came to this earth as the Son of God, said, there's nobody but God who is good. God is good. His thoughts for mankind are always good, and He's full of mercy and loving kindness. On the other hand, how about man? If the thoughts do not agree with their own thoughts, they easily slander and criticize others. And furthermore, many of them criticize God. Even though you have been accumulating so much evil until now, I hope you will have earnest and humble attitude to ask for the mercy and loving kindness of God. And God, who is Holy Spirit, who is one with God, will give you mercy. He will give you the grace so you can understand and realize the goodness of God. I ask you in the name of the Lord that you will have nothing to do with the fearful sins of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, thank you. It is the end of sins leading to death. And from next year, I will not preach such this kind of a sermon. I will only preach about the blessings, how to please God. Are you happy? Let us pray. Father God,
we finished
the message about sins leading to death. Father, let them understand about these sins so they will never commit such sins. Let them understand what sins leading to death are, what unforgivable sins are, so that they will never commit such sins in our life in faith. Let their salvation not be disturbed by these sins. If they are good-hearted, they will keep all the words of God. Because they have evil in their heart, they violate the word of God and many evil things are revealed. If they have good hearts, they will never speak evil words. Father, thank you. Let the church members never be deceived, or let them not get involved themselves in any of these works. Father, give them spiritual and physical health. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be burnt, be healthy, be cleansed. Doina from Moldova, there is a deformity, deformation of the fetus. Be healed. Blood back of after effects of heart disease, stone in the kidney, be healed. Bolojai, let him get a good job. Yu Huaying, let her daughter be healed of hyperthyroidism. Liu Giwin, be Yu Jun Guo, headache be healed. Father God, give them strength and power. Be from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Let light come. All infirmities, weaknesses go away. Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.